and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key. But the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And my name is Mark Salem. Here talking about cars, and we're talking about your cars. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm here to help you understand our industry, the repair industry, of which I've been a part of for the last 30 years. I'm an ASE Master Tech, and I know my fair share about cars. Okay, we'll call it that. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. Any issue with a transmission, no matter what it is, Bob and Steve at Quality are your best option. They're in Tempe. They do repairs on automatic standards. They have years of experience doing cars, trucks, 4x4s, motorhomes, Jeeps, anything. Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock, just north of University. No matter where you live, they're really worth the drive. And you can put a little pressure on them. Tell them Mark sent you. But I want to tell you something. I don't make a dime off of you doing that. Nothing. I mean, nothing at all. I'm not in the food chain when you write the check. Okay. I got a couple of things here. Okay, a guy says his wife drives a rather new car. She bought it in April 2011. She drives 7,500 miles a year. This is an email I got. Year one oil change is no problem. He uses synthetic. The dealer says, you know, we'll give you the first one for free. So they go in, 7,500 miles, get the oil change. Now, 7,500 miles later, at 15,000 miles, they go in. When they pick up the car, this is what he writes. I was disappointed when I picked up the car to notice fuel additives $16, oil additives $13, and throttle body cleaner $26.50. Nobody asked me if I wanted these things. They were simply on the bill when I picked up the car, and my master certified service consultant explained fuel additives cleaned the gas, and oil additives helped oil to lubricate better. And throttle cleaner is needed in Arizona because of the dirty air we have. Decided I didn't want to go to war over $65, but what do you think, Mark? I think you were just ripped off, that's what I think. A fuel additive is going to clean the gasoline. Oh, that would be interesting. I bet Mobil and Arco and Chevron would be interested in that concept. Clean the gasoline. And then we got this oil additive that helps the oil lubricate better. Oh, boy. And then throttle body cleaner because it's dirty. Air is dirty in Arizona. Well, first of all, there's nothing that's going to improve the gasoline. We have chemicals that will take the water out of gasoline if you suspect you have water. But I can guarantee you there's nothing that's going to make gasoline better. And if it does, it may add 50 cents to a dollar per gallon. So there are some high octane additives you could put in, but that's not what we're talking about here. This is an additive that cleaned the gas. Oil additive helped to lubricate better. I want to tell you something. If you called 10 repair shops and dealerships and said, am I going to void my engine warranty if I use an oil additive? I'll bet you half of them say yes. The manufacturers don't want you putting weird stuff inside their engines that they have to warranty for 30,000, 60,000, or 100,000 miles. They don't want that. They're looking for a reason. Why give them a reason? And then the throttle body cleaner, it's for the dirty air we have. Hey, buddy, what about the air filter? The air that gets to the throttle blades goes through the air filter. Come on, 15,000 miles? Oh, boy. I'm so proud of our industry at times. But, folks, I'm telling you now, I've told you every show, the economy's still not great, and there's a lot of car repair facilities out there that are taking advantage of you, because it's either take advantage of you or go broke. It's either take advantage of you or don't feed my family. So you have to pick which ones. Don't let them do that. It's nice that he says, I didn't want to start a war. I decided not to go over a war for the $65. But what would one say and not start a war the next time? Here's what you say. Those are unauthorized stuff, so I would appreciate it if you just take them off my bill. No, I'm not happy that you decided to spend $65 of my money. So with all due respect, could you remove those from my bill? Perhaps your service manager could. Oh, okay. He won't either. Okay. Well, I'll pay it with a credit card. And then when I get home, I'm gonna charge back the credit card. And I'm going to write Visa and say, and Visa's going to say, Mark, you can't just dispute $65. You got to do it all. I say, fine, that'll work. So then you're going to get a charge back, and then you're going to call me and say, what's the matter? And I say, hey, I'll pay you everything but the $65. You want to play hardball? That's fine. That's what it's all about. That's what we do. We do because the Caller path of Joe. Least resistance is because of you. You're likely to do that. Let me tell you, we're going to take calls in just a minute. I want to tell you about something that happened this week at my shop, and I've been in business 30 years, never had this happen before, but I'm really glad it happened for one reason. It allowed my older kids that are well into their 30s to see something for the first time. Guy comes into the shop and says, will you check my oil in my car? My son, who's 6'4", big boy, walks outside, opens the hood, and the hood doesn't stay open. And his name is Ahmed, so Ahmed holds the hood up. So my son checks it on. He says, you're a quart low. And he says, can you put a quart low in for me? And Alan says, yeah, sure. Pull around over here into the bays, and we dispense oil out of a gun, so I'll squirt a quart in for you. So he pulls around, and he opens up the hood, and there's two hood shocks, and the hood shocks are bad. And he knows it because he held up the hood the first time. He's wearing a white hat. So my son takes a pair of vice grips, and because the hood shocks are already ruined, it doesn't make any difference. He clamps the vice grips on the hood shock, and Ahmed is standing right there. He's standing right on the driver's side of the hood. There's a hood shock that's diagonal. My son's underneath the hood, and the hood falls maybe 8 inches and hits him on the back, on the shoulders, and there's a big grease mark across the back of his blue shirt. It's at this point that Ahmed, he went crazy, man. He was yelling and screaming and holding all of his body. And so Alan went over there and checked, oh, you okay? Okay. And sit down. And then here, lay down. And he's yelling, call 911. So we call 911. We say, do you want a drink of water? He says, yeah. He spills it all over himself. Paramedics get there. They said, what happened? He says, I hit my head. That's not the truth. There's too many witnesses. He never hit his head. He still had his hat on. Meanwhile, the old policeman kicks in on me, and I get the camera. I start handing out witness statements. We restage where everybody was standing while the paramedics are... And he's saying, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what my name is. My head hurts. I can't feel my toes. I can't feel my fingers, and my eyes are blurry, and I can't see, and it's getting dark and dark and dark. Guess what happened the next day. Guess what happened the next day? The next day, I get a call from an attorney. He said, hello, how are you? He said, you had an incident the other day at your shop, and I was wondering if you could give me your insurance carrier. And I said, when pigs fly, buddy, here's your choices. You want the name of my insurance carrier? Then sue me first. I'm not going to roll over that easy for you. Then I talked to my attorney, and my attorney called the attorney and said, number one, don't call Mr. Salem no more. Number two, stay off of his property. And number three, we are going to, if the insurance company makes you an offer, we're going to deny coverage. We're going to step away from coverage, and Mr. Salem is going to step forward, and you're going to have to sue us, and we're going to take you to trial before you get us red cent. And by the way, your client's car hurt Mr. Salem's son when the hood fell on it. So we want your insurance carrier. Now, There's no reason for that hood to come down unless Ahmed pinched those vice grips off. There's no reason. Can you believe that? Now, it's never happened to me, but I'm an optimist. The good thing is it happened in front of my kids. My daughter was panicky. My wife was panicky. My son was going, "Dad, nothing happened. Look at, he's still got his hat on." So I look at the videotape. He walks in with his white hat. And he's laying on the ground with his white hat. I said, "Son, it's okay. This is just a ruse. This is a way to get $2,000 or $3,000 out of our insurance company. It's okay." Customer we had never seen before. So I said to Alan, "No good deed goes unpunished." I have one more email to read you real quick, and I'll tell you that it's similar. A guy goes into a car repair shop, and they tell him that his motor mounts need to be replaced. So he goes to a second and a third and a fourth shop, and they all say, "Oh, no, no." He calls me, and he says, "What do you think I should do?" He emails me. I said, "You should go back." Say that again.
2 minutes.
Okay. He says, I say, "Go back to the service manager and ask him to show you the motor mounts. Let's inspect them together." So during this inspection, they're unable to show him why they're bad, other than they're not 100%. You see, they're not 100%, and anything for your car that's not 100% requires replacement. This is what he said. Anything on your car that's not 100% requires replacement. And the customer says, "You're kidding." He goes, "No." He says, "Don't you want your car to be 100%? Okay, here's my thought for you. Does this same service manager treat all the cars under warranty the same way? So when you buy a car, and after 10,000 miles, there's certainly a lot of parts on that car that are not going to be 100%.
1 minute.
So you suppose he's changing all those? You suppose if I went on his used car lot and took a look at some of his used cars, all of his used cars that had been thoroughly checked out, do you think that those would be all 100%? All that happened here is they got caught with their pants down around their ankles, and they're just going to sit there and flap their gums until you leave. That's good. He did a good job, and they did a good job of convincing him that they are a bunch of jerks. That's what happened. 602-508-0960. You want to comment? You got a car problem? My guns are blazing today. Last week we had 20 callers. This week we're going to go for a record. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. So if you want to call, the lines are wide open. My name is Mark Salem. This is 960 The Patriot, KKNT. Every Saturday from 10 till noon, we talk about cars with you.
960 The Patriot. You get it. So help your neighbors get it and make
Welcome back, everybody. We're shifting into second gear, full speed ahead. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Tom at Action Auto. He's a full-service shop, served Deer Valley area since 1983. He's located at I-17 in Deer Valley, so if you live anywhere within about a five-mile radius and you don't have a repair shop, may I suggest to you that Action Auto would be a great place. Family-owned business, accurate repairs, reliable, reasonable prices, factory recommended intervals, where they don't make up their own intervals and they don't make up things that you need to have on your car. They are technicians or ASE master certified. That's the same as I am, which is doggone good. And they are a TechNet service center, and they have an A+ rating at the Better Business Bureau. So if you're up in that area, it would please me if you gave Action Auto a try. We're shifting to third gear. Joe, you're first. Let's go.
We lost Joe, but we do have Ken. Who's next?
Ken, let's go, buddy.
I've got a Hyundai, 2008 Santa Fe. When I started up, the ESC control light and check engine light comes on, and it kicks into, I think it's called limp mode.
Uh-huh.
Took it into a local shop. I'm out in Casa Grande here. They replaced the pedal position sensor, telling me that's what the problem was. Hasn't fixed the thing.
Okay.
Any ideas?
Yeah. There's no question that they're guessing. Okay?
Yep.
And they should have told you they were guessing, because you wouldn't be feeling like you are right now. Let me tell you, there are two sensors on the pedal, and there are two sensors on the engine. They all have to synchronize. When you have the EST, then what happens, then you go into limp mode. What happens is one of those sensors is lying. Okay, here, I give it the gas. Remember, everything in the computer's voltage language.
Yep.
So the sensor 1 says 3, sensor 2 says 3, underneath the hood, sensor 3 says 3, and sensor 4 says 27.
Okay,
I'm going into limp mode because I can't trust. 27 means full throttle. So is the computer saying, do I follow sensor 4 to go to full throttle, or do I follow sensors the other three and just at idle? And it's going to say, oh, heck with it. I'm just going to throw him out into closed loop or closed limp mode and let him deal with it himself. So you go back to them. Did you get your old part back?
Unfortunately, no.
Have you ever heard me tell everybody get their part back? Huh? Have you ever heard that?
Mark, I haven't. I haven't paid a lot of attention, of course, until I've had a problem here.
Oh, thank you for laughing. I thank you for laughing. That's exactly the reason why good shops put the part in the box and put it in the car, and they say, don't throw that away until you're absolutely sure I fixed it. Because when you go back and you want that part back, how much did that cost you?
The new part?
Yeah.
$265.
Okay. So the idea is you need to call them first thing Monday morning. You need to go there first thing Monday morning and hope they haven't emptied the trash and tell them start burrowing. I want the old part put back on and you can have your $260. Did you pay with a credit card?
Yes, sir.
Good. We got him. So he's going to be nice, or hopefully he's going to be nice, and you're just going to say you missed it. It's still got the same problem. Let's put the old sensor back on and let's go to plan B. Or do you even want to mess with this car and you want to just give me my money back? What do you want to do? That's what I'd do.
All righty.
Thank you. Good luck to you, Ken.
Yeah, thank you.
You betcha. Jeff, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Hey, I've got a problem with a tractor, and it's got wheels and an engine and a steering wheel. So
I own some tractors, buddy. I'm ready.
Okay, this is a 1979 Yamaha 1610D. Does that help you?
Yep.
Okay. I think there is something wrong with the engine, and the reason I say that is because it starts up, it runs, and then it starts to falter. It's a three-cylinder diesel. It feels like it's running on two.
Mm-hmm.
And after flushing out the diesel and flushing out the filter and changing the oil and doing everything I could as an idiot,
mm-hmm.
I noticed that I'm shooting smoke out of my radiator overflow valve. Not a lot, but just enough, like combustion type, not steam.
Okay, all right. That's bad. I mean, the signs are bad. I'm not saying that's bad. The signs are bad. All right, couple things. If you have a blown head gasket, then you are going to have an unexplained consumption of coolant. So And if that's the case, then when you park the tractor after using it, the upper radiator hose will be really tight, really stiff, really hot. It'll take a very short period of time to squirt the coolant into that cylinder. And then the hose will be soft. And when you start it up, the diesel has a cylinder full of water, and it's going to run on three cylinders until it gets the water out the tailpipe, and then it will run on three cylinders. But I got
It's a three-cylinder, so it would run on two.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay,
yeah, I really did.
I have to save money somehow, I guess.
Yeah, I did pass math. Three minus one is two. All right, I have great news for you, though.
What's that?
What part of town do you live in?
Gilbert.
Okay. There's a guy named Wally, and he's over on 40th and Baseline. He knows more about those tractors than anybody I've ever met in my life. Wally could take the head off that thing, check it for cracks, put a head gasket on it with a blindfold.
Oh, I don't think I want him to do that, because he might hurt himself.
Why?
Okay. Never mind.
All right. But he... Well, I also have a policeman friend of mine that works on tractors. You want Wally or you want him?
let's go with Wally. I think Wally might know what he's doing.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. But if you talk to Wally, and if you'll send me an email, I'll give you Wally's phone number because I don't have it now, but I have it at work. And I'll give him Wally, okay?
All right.
All right, listen, and one other thing.
What's that?
Was it your wife's choice to buy that Yanmar or yours?
Yeah, hey, I gotta go. My phone is ringing. Oh, yeah, I gotta get this.
Okay.
It was my idea, actually.
Yeah. Can I talk to your wife?
She's not available.
Okay.
She's with the horses right now.
All right, have her give me a call sometime, okay?
Oh.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Hey, and one short thing?
Yes, sir.
118 days.
118 days.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Info.
All right. You're welcome. You're welcome, Jeff. 118 days. He probably quit smoking 118 days ago, or something else. But the 118 days means something. All right. Where are we at? Adriana, you're next. How can I help you?
Hey. I was doing a favor for a friend. She's from Canada, and she doesn't really know a lot of people. So I went to a Cadillac dealer in Tempe. I probably shouldn't say the name. And so I introduced myself and got the name of a service person and then called her and said, hey, here's the service person's name. I just thought I'd do a little introduction since she was not familiar with any of the area locals. And so she took her car. She's got a DeVille North Star. She took her car in, and it was really for just an oil change. She had a little oil spillage in her garage, which she thinks was from the previous dealer that she went to in Scottsdale of the same Cadillac nature. And so they called her up after she had left it there for a couple of days and said that the transmission needed to be replaced, and the estimate was $9,000.
Wow.
I was just curious. You know, I ended up, one of my sons, you know, in their mid-20s, tinkers with cars. I mean, he's rebuilt a couple of, you know, 67 Chevys, that sort of thing. So I just called him and said, hey, who do you recommend? So we got a second opinion, and we had it fixed for tremendously less. I was just curious, what would have cost $9,000?
Well, first of all, the real question would have been, can you explain to me what symptoms we have today that you're going to fix with a $9,000 transmission? What do I have today? Well, you're slipping out of gear. No, I'm not.
No.
It takes forever for it to go from neutral to drive. No, it doesn't.
No.
It's got a delayed shifter. A shift to third gear. No, it doesn't.
No,
it has a really harsh shift to third gear. No, it doesn't.
No.
That's what it's all about. It's again, it's no symptom derivative. When you go into the doctor and the doctor says you need a brain transplant and you happen to have the IQ like me of Einstein, you're going to say to him, what are you talking about? I don't need a brain transplant. My wife says I need a heart transplant, but not a brain transplant. Adriana, you know the answer to this. There's no reason, and there's no reason, I don't know what reason, but when we come back, we'll talk about it more. We'll be right back.
About that demon automobile, the middle.
Welcome back, everybody. We're shifting into third gear here. We're going full speed ahead. The lines are open, 602-508-0960. Adriana, we're going to finish up with you, then Frank, and then Ray, and we've got open lines available. This portion of our radio show called Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Brian and Thelma own Thompson's Auto Repair, and they've been providing quality car care in Mesa since 1970, them and their families. They can handle all major and minor repairs on foreign and domestic vehicles. They understand your vehicle is a major investment for you, and they will care for your vehicle as if it was their own. So please, if you live in the area of Stapley in Maine in Mesa, visit Brian and Thelma at Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, just east of Stapley on the south side of Main Street. Adriana, do you remember how many miles and what year that Cadillac was?
I believe it's 03, and it was. She's got about 118,000 miles.
Okay, and then what was there any symptoms related to the transmission other than the fact that she had a leak underneath it?
Well, and that she thought was from the oil as opposed to transmission, and I would say no, she had no, and that's what, when we went to the second guy, you know, to get the second opinion and get the repairs done, you know, she said, I don't feel this, I don't feel that. I mean, you know, again, being women, we tend to be treated like we don't have a clue, but we do, a lot of us anyway.
No, you're right.
So,
you're right.
You know, but then the guy, you know, this guy came to me as a reference, you know, reputable, I felt, you know, based on my son's friend. And he hooked it up to one of those computers, and it said something about slippage. You know, it was sort of like what you were just telling the other caller on the Hyundai, that those things were not coordinating correctly.
Yes. And that's exactly what happens. But that alone, because we've got a code in the computer that suggests that we're slipping the third gear clutch or the overdrive or the torque converter is not locking solid.
Overdrive, yeah.
That it's. That alone isn't it. Now, if this lady, our Canadian visitor, just drove it around Phoenix and she didn't ever go to Albuquerque or Los Angeles, I would have said to her, are you sure we really need to spend the money? I mean, why don't we just live with it for a while? Now, it is true that the average life of a transmission is about 120,000 miles, so she's right up there at 118.
Okay, yeah.
It's just uncomfortable. And then I say to them, it's your choice. If you really want complete comfort, you're not going to get it by spending it for the transmission, because you still have the engine, you have all the wheel bearings, you have every other part of that car with 118,000 miles. So don't think you're going to buy the transmission and that's going to be the end of all your ills. It won't be. On the other hand, why not just not do it, especially since the car is driven 5,000 miles a year and it never leaves the boundaries of Maricopa County?
No, I mean, you know, she's only here 6 months out of the year because of the restrictions and, you know, exactly what you're saying. Well, and then the last comment, you know, because I know you have other callers, the dealership that, again, I had gone to make an introduction, figuring they could have a good relationship, and, you know, she's able to pay her bills in a good way, and they offered for her to buy a new car. Imagine that.
Yep. Yeah, I think just actions speak louder than words. You don't need to say anything more than, we found your transmission bad, it's $9,000, would you like to buy a new car?
I think that's how it went.
Yeah, that I think that speaks for itself. Thank you very much, Adrienne. I appreciate your call. You betcha. Frank, you're up next. Frank, how can I help you today?
How you doing, Mark? Pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
I've got a 2007 Impala. I called you about a couple of years ago. They had to replace the head gaskets on it at 40,000 miles. I wasn't happy with that, but the dealership I went to and have been going to is probably one of the last good Chevrolet dealerships left in the valley.
Okay.
Did a beautiful job. I never had a problem with it since I kept the car. But the one thing that keeps going bad every 6 months to a year are these AC actuators, and they are expensive.
Yep, but they got a year warranty on them.
Well, this time I had them, before that I had them replaced. I used to work at a Chevrolet dealership that's gone now, Lou Grubb, of course. But,
okay.
I had them replaced by a friend of mine on the side. And no matter what I do, now that the car's out of warranty, I go to, you know, Mike's Auto Tech, because he's a good friend of mine. But this time I went to that dealership hoping that GM would give me some assistance, you know, whether they paid half
1 minute
or anything. But with the miles on it, they didn't.
Yeah, I think if you bought the part and had somebody else install it, the best you could hope for would be another part. But
yeah.
I'll tell you what I would do. If you really, really, really believe that this is going to be a problem you're going to live for the rest of your life, I'd go back in there, I'd put one more on it, and then I'd hook a piece of fishing line or I'd hook a coat hanger to that door, and I'd bring it outside the case, and I'd paint it red, the end of it, and I'd put a little hook on it, and I'd say, Frank, if you want heat, slide it to the left. If you want cold, slide it to the right, and I would unplug the motor, and that would be it. And you can change it whenever you want. But somebody has to clean the case up, and a lot of times the case is warped, which causes that door to fail. When we come back, we'll talk more about it, so stay right there, Frank. We'll be right back. Well, thanks for spending your Saturday morning or early afternoon with me. My name's Mark Salem. You're listening to 960 The Patriot AMs every Saturday from 10 to noon. We're here talking about car repair, and specifically your car repair. Did you know that the frame or unibody structure integrity of your vehicle is important to your car as the foundation is to your home or your spine is to your body? Phoenix Body Works uses the finest frame and unibody measuring equipment that the auto body industry has to offer. That's pretty important if your car is wrecked pretty bad. I've seen a lot of vehicles come into our shop with bent frames. The front ends are unalignable, and the car won't go down the road straight. It doglegs, and obviously they weren't repaired correctly. Phoenix Body Works will make your car, and they'll put your car back together the way it was, on time, at an affordable price, with quality parts. They're hassle-free. And here's a really important part. They're insurance company friendly. They know how to work with the insurance companies. They're located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. They've been serving Phoenix, Anthem, and New River, and the entire north central and northwest and northeast. So give Phoenix Body Works a call. That's 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road, Phoenix Body Works. Hey, Frank, on your Impala?
Yes.
I have a suggestion for you. What should have been going on here is that after the second one, we needed to do an autopsy. We need to determine what's going on. Is the door stuck? Is the linkage bent or are the plastic gears chewed up? That will tell you what's going on. Now, if I were the one that was taking this apart the next time, I would go ahead and swing the old door in and out. I disconnect it. If the arm was bent, that would tell me, sure, that the door was sticking. So now I'm going to take a little grinding wheel, and I'm going to trim the outside edge of that door off to where I know, come hot or cold, that evaporator case that's made of plastic, as it swells and contracts with hot and cold, that door will still continue to swing well. And I'm also going to clean the entire doorway out, and then I'm going to spray silicone all over it so the door can sweep. And if it does touch the plastic, it'll give it a little bit of a slide. But if the door motor is burnt up, then I'd be looking at the alternator, because the alternator can cause that problems and a lot of other electrical problems if it's over amping or over volting the system. So the autopsy on the next motor would be important.
I see.
Thank you, Frank. Thank
you
for calling.
You read my mind on the how to avoid it and what to do any way I could do without the actuators.
Yeah, you can. We do that all the time. I mean, the other shops do it too. It's you just go in there and say, hey, are you comfortable with putting a coat hanger on my blend door or my my vent door? And so that I can, and yeah, okay, fine, I can do that. So, yes, there are people that do that. We just did one to a 96 Grand Marquis the other day. But it's not something that we developed. It's something we learned from some of the old guys in town. So just find somebody and that's got a little gray hair coming out of his ears where you live and ask him, can you cook a coat hanger to this so I don't have to buy that motor again? And while you're in there, can you just bend that rod off and attach the coat hanger to the door? And that way I'll know. Just tell me which way to pull, when you know how to use the mechanism, and I'll be fine. Thank you very much, Activator. I got to write that down. All righty, Ray, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark, I'm the proud owner of a 2000 Toyota Tacoma.
Okay.
However, this only happens in cold weather. My airbag light comes on.
Okay.
After it warms up, it goes away. And in summertime, it never comes on. Only in, you know, the 3 days of winter
okay.
that we have in Arizona.
I can help you.
Okay.
The airbag light usually, well, it always comes on when the airbag system loses sight of something. And the only thing the airbag sensor loses sight of, almost always, 90% of the time, is the airbag itself, because the steering wheel spins. So there's this contactor that has something to do with it. It's called the clock spring.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that that's working. Okay, here's the deal. I want you to start the car. I don't touch the steering wheel in the mornings when it's cold. Just start the car. The light will come on and stay on for 3, 4, 5 seconds, and then it should go off.
Like all the other lights.
Like all the others. That's called a bulb check. And if it goes off, I don't want you to touch the steering wheel. I just want you to take your fist and hit the top at 12 o'clock and then wait a second. Then hit the bottom, 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Light's still not on. Then I want you to take that thing and swing it all the way to the right as fast as you can and hit the lock. Hit the end position. And all the way to the left and hit. I want the light to come on. And I want you to figure out how to get the light to come on. And then I want you to go to your shop and say, in the morning cold, if the light is off, I can get it to come on by beating on the steering wheel or turning it real hard left or right. Not even moving. I haven't even put it in reverse yet. Or when the light is on, sometimes I can get it to go off by beating on the steering wheel or turning it hard left or right. That's all you need. And then they'll take the steering wheel off and put a new clock spring in it, because that's probably what's wrong with it, especially because it's 13 years old.
Yeah, okay.
All righty.
We'll do, Mark.
All right, good luck to you, Ray. Thank you very much. And Keith, you're up next. How are you today?
I'm good. I've got a 2005 Yukon Denali.
Okay.
We've had it for 2.5 years.
What motor's in it?
It's a 6.0, and it tows horses very well. You'll be glad to know that. It's all-wheel drive.
Oh, my wife has one of those, and I want to tell you something. You're being kind to it, or you're not being kind enough. It's a rocket ship.
Yeah, yeah. She had a 94 Suburban before that with the 5.7, and that was two-wheel drive, and she says this takes the horses up the interstate way better.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know how somebody would know before buying that an all-wheel drive and a 6.0 would be better than a four-wheel drive or a two-wheel drive. So I think we just locked into that.
Well, and actually, I have two of those. I have
actually,
two.
My mechanic, my local mechanic, he's kind of a guy like you in Northeast Phoenix. You know, I have a relationship there, like you
good.
Always say.
Good.
He
good.
Recommended it. He yeah. said, yeah, that's a really good combo.
Well, my wife has that same one, and plus one, we have an extra Denali that's of the same year. The only difference between our two Denalis is one has a heated steering wheel and the other doesn't. But other than that, now, yours is 12 miles a gallon, uphill, downhill, loaded, empty, with the wind behind you, whatever.
You know what? Be honest, it's better than that. It's better than I would have expected on mileage.
Okay. Well, that's all my wife gets, and she must be doing a lot of drag racing, but I don't ever ride with her anyway. So.
Yeah, with towing, yeah, you don't do so
yeah.
well.
All righty. What's up?
Okay, here's the question, and you may have come across this even on your own vehicle.
Okay.
All right, so we're like the third owners of this vehicle. Well, we had it about a year, and we had a little problem with the sunroof. It would drag the fiber cover back.
Okay.
Anyway, I took care of that. I cut off the little end with a sharp knife. No problem. So about a year later, which is a couple weeks ago, this sunroof, believe it or not, opened by itself twice.
Okay.
Second time, we could not close it or anything. I'm talking about the outside part. Rain would get in, blah, blah, blah. So my local mechanic says, no, those are really complicated, and you should take it to the dealer.
Okay.
So we took it to the GMC dealer. I won't name them.
Please.
North Scottsdale.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, I said, you know, really, if you can close it, I'll be happy enough to take the fuse out and never touch it. My wife has not touched it in a year, because I told her not to, that it's more problems than it's worth. She does like it. Anyway, we couldn't get as close. Took it in. Yeah, they said, oh, it's the switch. Well, I was getting power to the switch. The switch seemed to have continuity. I tried even hot wiring it. Nothing would make any noise at all. So I took it in. Okay, they put a new switch in, and they said, now it's working. We fought over the disposal and hazardous fees charge that they didn't tell me about. I said, what did you dispose of? What was hazardous?
No. You're getting off on a tangent, and the answer to that is that we spread all those fees amongst everybody. So it is true that sometimes you pay more fees, but when you go in and you dump 12 quarts of transmission fluid and 3 gallons of differential fluid and 15 gallons of oil, you just pay a small amount compared to the big amount. All right, so they put a switch in and it closed it, right?
Then it was operating, pick it up, $200-some. Okay, 2 days later, she tries it. It gets stuck open.
Okay.
She takes it back. They're able to close it that day, and they said, you're going to have to bring it back for a third time. So she took it back for a third time on Thursday, and she's afraid to try it now. I said, no, try it, make it fail. They said they'll take care of it if it's up to a year. So what do you think is a problem here with... They said they had to do something with the computer, and they put in another switch. Switch is like $26 retail.
I know, but you changed your mind in the middle of the stream. You told them that if they could get it shut, that you'd be happy.
Yes.
When it was shut.
But they called me and said, you know what, we can repair it for this price.
Okay.
And I said, go ahead with that.
All right, well, you're going to have to go back to them, and you're going to have to say this.
Okay.
Obviously, you didn't fix it. Okay? Obviously, you didn't fix it. So, here's the deal. I want half my money back.
Okay.
I want $100 back. I want you to put the switch in there. I want you to close the door, pull the switch out, and I don't care if you stick a piece of bubble gum in that hole. I don't want to see that thing again.
Oh, yeah. I can pull the switch out myself. It's 5 minutes.
Okay. Right. So that's it. But you're going to have to argue with them about your repair didn't fix my problem, regardless of all the techno stuff you tell me.
Right. And that's why when you talk about, say, hey, I paid for a repair. I didn't get it. See, I didn't pay for just to be closed. I paid for a repair.
Right.
We talked that over. So, you know, I told my wife, if they can't fix it, you tell them I want a full refund or I want it fixed for that same price.
Okay, but it's fair you pay for the $26 switch. Okay?
And half is probably a good compromise. I agree.
Yeah, it's just, and that's... that's the fair thing to do. If I was mediating the complaint, I'd say, hey, I want you to pay for the switch because, first of all, it's a $26 switch. Second of all, evidently the switch did make progress, although that wasn't the entire thing. But you benefited from a new switch. Even if you took it off and put it in the glove box, there's still a new switch there. But on the other hand, I would say to them, and I've only heard your side, but
it's had the second new switch already.
Yeah. So just,
that on Thursday.
Just work with them and be nice. There's always going to be time later to grow your fangs and be mean, but be nice. Now, if your wife has that blink of the eye kind of look, send her.
Right, and I'm going to have her try it several times a day over the next few weeks while it's still fresh in your memory and all that.
Okay, well, if it fails again, then the default is hey, I'll take $100 back and you close it, and we're going to leave it closed for the rest of its life.
So
all right.
Let me ask you, at your shop, do you see stuck open spots?
Yeah, and we don't mess with them either, and we don't send them to the dealers necessarily, although they are a good option. Usually there are guys out there that install these sunroofs and moonroofs on a car that didn't came with one. Those are the guys you want. They know all of those. They're kind of hard to find because they typically deal in only the wholesale market, not in the retail market. But if you called somebody and said, hey, I have an aftermarket T-top or a glass roof and I want to da-da-da-da, they say, oh, yeah, well, go talk to so-and-so. He does our work. That's what you're really looking for, is to bypass all the people in the food chain and go right to the guy who knows what's going on. I got to go, though. Keith, thank you very much. Jeff, you're up next. Jeff, how can I help you?
I've got a 2000 Ford Taurus, and it sounds like the bearing for the air conditioner is going out. When you go ahead and engage the clutch, it quiets it down some. But, you know, it's that dry, you know, non-lubricated roller bearing sound. My question is, can you just change the clutch on that without having to remove the refrigerant from the compressor? Or
I'm 99% sure the answer to that is yes.
Okay.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just... Now, let me ask you a question. You say that when the air is off, the noise is there.
Yes.
And when the air is on, it goes away?
It doesn't go completely away, but you can tell when the clutch engages.
Okay.
That changes the sound. No, okay. It's still there, but it's not...
All right.
It's not a higher pitch sound. It kind of muffles it some, but it's still there.
Okay. I want you to take a screwdriver... And I want you to touch the compressor when the noise is the loudest, and I want you to start at the back and just touch all the way to the front. Now, the clutch won't be slipping when it's off, when the air conditioning is off, but the motor's running.
Uh-huh.
You can actually touch the faceplate.
Okay.
And I want you to make absolutely sure that the grinding and the noise is coming from the front.
Okay.
And if it's the front, then I am quite sure you can pull that clutch, and you're going to get the magnet, the idler pulley with a new bearing, and the clutch. You'll get all that in one package. But I want to warn you, also bid a compressor complete, because sometimes the clutch is $125 and the compressor is $160. And then you've got to, you know, change the oil. You got to do all the stuff you're supposed to do. And that may not be something you want to do, and you want to do the clutch. But just keep that in mind, because that's the easier one. Hey, Nick, I'm going to get you the first on the other side of the hour, but I just can't do it now. So if you want to hang on, the lines are open, 508-0960, 602-508-0960.
Ladies, are any
purposes only.
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet.
Well, good morning. We're going to go as quickly to the callers as we can. As we promised, we've got another hour of fun and frivolity. Frivolity? I don't know. We've got a lot of fun coming your way. 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by my buddy, Quality Transmission, owned and operated by Bob. There's hardly a day, a week, a month that goes by that I don't get a call from a happy customer about Quality Transmission in Tempe, the only transmission shop in the East Valley that I recommend. It's the only one. People tell me how knowledgeable, polite his staff is, how much money they saved, or how happy they are with the repair process. and they're happy with quality transmission. In addition to repairing transmissions, they do clutches, drive shafts, drive lines, drive axles, CV boot replacement, anything to do with the drivetrain of your engine, they do a good job of. They're located on McClintock, just north of University in Tempe, just south of the 202. And Nick, just like I promised, buddy, you're up next. How can I help you? Thanks for holding.
Yeah, Mark, I have a 2008 Ford pickup, four-wheel drive, and from the day, and it's loaded. And from the day I bought it till now, it's sometimes I'll get in there to try to start it, and it does absolutely nothing, just like a dead battery, but all the lights on a dash come on.
Okay.
And I had it towed in several times, and they can't seem to fix it. They don't know what's wrong with it, because when they get it, it'll start.
Yeah, yeah.
And I dealt with the Ford dealer direct, and, you know, I tried to make it a lemon truck, because every time I needed it, you know, it just wouldn't start. Now, the tow truck, every time the tow truck picked it up, when they tried to start, had them try to start it just to let them know that it, you know, it wouldn't start.
Yeah.
And once or twice, I think the Ford dealer had it and it wouldn't start, but when they put
equipment on it.
Yeah, then naturally it starts.
Okay, I need, you need to, may I can suggest a way you can get this fixed. I do you have access to the internet? I hope you do.
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to go to MarkSalem.com. MarkSalem.com. And I want you to go to the FAQs, and I want you to print number 28.
Print number 28.
Now, here's what I'm going to have you do. Everywhere you park this, I want you to park it where there's something in front of you that you can see the headlights on your truck. All right. Now, if you turn the headlights on every single time you put the key in the ignition, I want you to turn your headlights on first, and I want you to watch them against the wall in your garage, or watch them against the fence, or whatever you park against. If you hit the key and the headlights are white and bright and don't change at all, then I would bet a lot of money that the neutral safety switch is bad. Or maybe the shift lever is bad. I would bypass one of those at a time until you said problem solved. If you hit the key and the headlights just barely change intensity and come back on, that indicates the solenoid. If you hit the key and the headlights go completely out, and then you let go of the key and they come back on real fast, that's an indicator of a starter. If you hit the key and the headlights are white and bright at the beginning, and then they go out and you let go of the key and they come back on slowly, that means we have a bad connection, probably at the battery or the solenoid. So you need to tell us what the headlights are doing, and you need to have the headlights on every time you start it so you can recognize what's good and what's bad.
I kind of think when you unlock the truck, don't the headlights come on automatically?
Doesn't make any difference. I want you to manually turn the headlights on.
Oh, okay.
All right, I want you to bypass all the twilight sentinels and all that kind of stuff. Just go from auto to on every single time, and I want to know what the headlights are doing. Now, I got something else for you. A lot of shops have this, so I'm going to say, I'm going to use us for an example. We have a really fancy box that's got like six red, yellow, green, purple, and white lights in it. And for $100, we're going to wire each one of those lights, because it goes from the battery to the key switch, from the key switch through the neutral safety switch. So we're going to go on each side of the key switch, each side of the neutral safety switch, then to the solenoid, then to the starter. Each one of those lights is going to go someplace, and count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, we install that, and every time you start the car, and you're successful, all the lights light up, all six. However, one day you hit the key and it doesn't start, and you look at this magic box and only light 1, 2, 3, 4 come on. Now we know exactly what's the matter with it. Now, I put one of these boxes in a lady's car one day. Her son rips the box out, winds the cables up, walks in the shop, and throws it at us. And says, you know, what kind of idiots are you? I never did get to explain to him what I did. But that is an option. And frankly, it takes a half a day to build this stupid little box, but we use it all the time. And it's just so for something like this.
Is this something that I could purchase and put in the truck?
I'll let you see ours, and you can go to Radio Shack and purchase one. All you're going to do is a little aluminum box, and you're going to put 6 lights in it, and they're 12-volt lights, and you're going to put all the grounds together and to a cigarette lighter plug-in, and then you're going to have 6 power wires that come out of the back of the box, and you're just going to put this power wire here, this one there, this one there, this one there, this one there. You're going to plug it into the cigarette lighter, and boom, you're done.
Yeah, because I'd like to do that, Mark, because I can't depend on this truck. It's time when I need it. It won't. That's when it fails.
All right, well, come on by. I'm in Tempe, Warner and I-10, a mile east. Come by. If I'm not there, ask for Eddie. He's my shop foreman.
And what's your address?
It's 1025 West Warner Road, Tempe. I'll let you see ours, and you can design one yourself.
Okay, I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, good luck to you, Nick. Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to put you down for intermittent no start, because I keep track. Bob, you're up next. Bob, how can I help you today?
Hi, Mark. 09 Chevy Equinox, 75,000 miles. Every once a week lately, it's getting the warning light on the dash. Stabilitrack is off. You know, I guess that's the collision avoidance system. You turn it off and on with that little button next to the gear select, you know? And, you know, you can't turn it off or on the button. It just says warning, Stabilitrack is off. But then after you drive it 10 or 15 minutes, it doesn't come on, and then it might be fine for a week.
Okay.
And
here's what Stabilitrack is, first of all, is that the computer can take control of all 4 wheels. And so if it sees all of a sudden your car going down the road sideways, where the driver's door is going forward, otherwise, the hood is to the right and the tail of the car is to the left. That's called a yaw. So you're going down the road sideways. If I wanted to straighten up your car, I would quickly apply the left rear brake only. And that would straighten that car up in the blink of an eye. Boom! Straight. So that's what Stabilitrack is all about. It's about getting a car going down the road straight. The wheel sensors are the common denominator with ABS lights, Stabilitrack lights, all kinds of traction control lights. It's the wheel sensors. And here's what happens. You go down the road, and there's 4 wheel sensors, and the computer's watching them all the time. 3 of them say 42 miles an hour, and the other says 142 miles an hour. The computer says, oh, what do I do now? So it looks at the programming sheet and says, what did General Motors or Ford want me to do? Oh, turn on the light and disable the system. Boom, boom, system disabled, light on. He keeps watching, and pretty soon that one comes back into the fold, so to speak, and they're all at 42, they're all at 50 together, they're all at 60 together, and if your wife's driving, they're all at 100 together. And it says everything's fine. So what has to happen is we have to figure out which one of the sensors is. Here's what I want you to do. You can save yourself $100 if you'll just pay attention to what prefaces it coming on. And every turn you make, I want you to make it a tight 90-degree turn. So when you pull up to an intersection and you're going to turn right, I want you to pull forward, then turn it really hard to the right and make a 90-degree turn and go. Here's why. When you make a hard turn left or right, the inside tires turn far less than the outside tires. And you'll say, Mark, I can get it to come on every single time I turn right. Now, we're going to plug in our scan, and we're going to hope like heck that that wheel sensor will act up. And as we drive down the road, we're going to be watching all the speeds on all 4 of the wheels. We can only do that for 20 minutes, because after that, it's a waste of your money, and you're not going to be happy about getting a bill for $104 while he drove around in your car trying to get the wheel sensor to act up. And the downside is you don't have stability control when the light's on, but the upside is so what for the time being. Sooner or later, the wheel sensor will fail, and when it does, it's going to be what we call a hard code, and that'll be it. We'll know which one it is. So that's what I want you to do, okay?
Thanks, Mark.
Good luck to you, Bob. Glenn, you're up next. Glenn, how can I help you today?
Yeah, morning, Mark. Hey, I've got a 2001 AMC. It's a 2500 HD.
Okay.
And four-wheel drive, and my wife was coming home last night and heard a pop. and then some noises in the front. She pulled over, and I went to get the truck. And when you drive it forward, there's kind of a pop, pop, pop. But I'd run it in reverse, and I kind of straightened it out, and I managed to limp it home at, you know, 10 miles an hour. And there's some slight popping. It's definitely in the front end there. And I checked the driveline. The U-joints look okay. Checked the outer wheels and don't see anything that's come apart. But I'm thinking there's something down in that differential, and I'm curious, maybe you got any ideas where to start. I've got to do a self-repair on this. I can't take it in anywhere.
Okay. So. Well, and let me ask you a question. Do you have push-button, two-wheel, four-wheel?
Push-button, yeah.
Okay. So you've backed it up, and you went to two-wheel, and then you
1 minute
stopped, and then you maybe put it in four-wheel, and you went forward to see if it changed anything?
No, I didn't try. I didn't try the transfer case. I'm just running in two-wheel drive right now.
Okay. The issue is let's start from the outside. It can be the hubs. One of the hubs is stripped. And I think if you can get it to actually make the noise and trust your wife to drive it slowly while you run alongside of it, I think if you take the hubcaps off of it and just touch the hub, you'll know which side it's on.
I'll feel the vibration.
Oh, no, you'll hear the crunching and crunching and crunching. Okay. You'll feel it. You'll hear it and you'll feel it. And then
now I replaced the left front hub about 50,000 miles ago, and so it could be the outer hub. Then you're thinking,
yeah, it could be. You know what we do is when we apply power to the front drive shaft from the transfer case when you go into four wheel, then we're going to apply power all the way through the differential and we're going to lock the hubs by just applying power. And so some trucks you back up to disconnect it, sometimes you don't. It just depends on how it's plumbed, because some of them, the axles are tied into the wheels 100% of the time, but there's no power being transmitted. So if you drive down the street in two-wheel drive, look at the front drive shaft. If the front drive shaft is spinning, then there's a good chance that you have solid hubs in the front. If the drive shaft's not spinning and you still have the noise, then it's out the door. We're not interested in the hubs on the outside, but it still could be a wheel bearing like the one you already replaced. All righty, I got to take a run, and when we come back, we'll get Harry. Thank you, Glenn, very much, and we'll be right back right after this.
Bill Bennett thinks a divided GOP is not going to help in the long run.
I like people coming together. I like disagreement. I like argument.
At the end of the day, you win some, you lose some.
And you're a unified party. What we need to be is a unified opposition.
Right now, just Harry then.
Well, welcome back, everybody. My name's Mark Salem, and we've got some open lines available because we're going to get Harry and Tim right now. But if you'd like to join us, we have the line available. And that's, I'm looking at the clock and trying to think at the same time, 602-508-0960. 508-0960. And Harry, you're up next. How can I help you today?
Yeah, Mark, thanks for taking my call. I know earlier in the program you were talking about additives for oil, and I believe you said fuel also. I know a lot of the gas stations now have additives in their fuel already. Do you recommend I kind of use a Chevron additive for fuel injection cleaners. Oh, every 1,000 miles or so. Is that a good preventative
No. Let me tell you a quick story. Back in the day when I used to run a gas station, there was a gas crunch, and we were trucking gasoline out of California, but it was a generic gasoline. This is a true story. I'm not kidding you. The guy dumps 9,000 gallons of unleaded into my 12,000-gallon tank. Then he walks over to the cab of his truck and he pulls out a 5-gallon bucket that's got 3 gallons of a white milky liquid in it. And he pours it in and he says to me, "Now you got mobile." How much of that are you getting? You know what I mean? I'm not kidding you. I saw that with my own eyes. And I believe that to this day. Now there's some detergent, there's some high octane gasolines out there, there's some detergent out there. But we now know. Remember that after fuel injection came out in the mid-90s, we had fuel injection machines, we were flushing your injectors, and we were telling you. We now know today that we ruined far more injectors than we ever cleaned. And I'm not of a position on injectors to try any preventative stuff. First of all, I probably replace 3-4 injectors a month. And if I'm doing 10,000 cars a year, you got to know the odds are pretty small I'm going to do yours.
Right.
And
even in diesels, we are not recommending any maintenance on the diesel whatsoever, except if there's a symptom. I like oil additives and fuel additives if you have a symptom. Every once in a while, we'll get a Dodge or Ford that has a sticking injector, causes a pop and pa-ta-ta-ta-ta in the morning. We'll use a gasoline additive, sometimes three times its recommended strength, and the customer says, you got it. And it's fixed, and I know that because nothing's happened in a month. So symptom, we're going to try something like that. But for preventative maintenance, Harry, send me your money. I'll have more fun with it than they will.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Harry, very much. And Tim, you're up next. Tim, how are you? Tim?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm very good. Thank you very much.
Good. I got a 2000 Lexus RX300, and I'm getting water in it. I thought the water was coming from underneath because we'd drive it, and it would the back rear passenger floor would get a little wet.
Okay.
However, during this last storm we had, the car didn't get driven, and it got soaked back
in the back
there. In the back. I'm thinking rear passenger side,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Water's water.
Okay, so what you do is you can either get inside and have your wife squirt the heck out of the passenger side area, and you look around, and I would take the plate off the bottom that holds the carpet, and I'd kind of peel the carpet back just a tad.
Okay.
I'd look there. Another thing I'd do is I'd take a piece of paper, and I'd open up the door, and I'd slam it shut, and I'd pull it out starting at 12 o'clock, and then 12:30, and then 1 o'clock, 1:30, and you're going to find a hole in the gasket.
Okay.
I would take it to a body shop because they have transmitters and receivers. They'll put a transmitter inside the car, and then they'll have a receiver in their hand, and they'll put that receiver all around the doorway, and anywhere that you don't have a good seal, it will show. It could be from the drip rail above. It could be the window. It could be that the drains in the door are plugged up, which causes the water to come in rather than go outside because at
right.
the very bottom. So look on the bottom of the door, and if there's any drains, you know, squirt some a shop air up there or take a coat hanger and kind of clean that area out. Don't stick it up more than about an inch or two because I don't want you to stick that coat hanger up into the electronics of the window.
Gotcha.
So those are the kinds of things that you want to do. Is this isn't going to be a hard one. It's just going to, you know, maybe lock your wife inside the car and you hose the car down or something like that.
So this is a body shop issue then.
It is.
More so than
me. You are best served by a good body shop. What part of town do you live in?
We're up in Glendale in Northwest Corner.
Okay, well, I've got Auto Dynamics at 99th Avenue in Sun City. I've got, that's the only body shop I've got on the northwest side. You'd have to come down to Central Phoenix to find another one. I've got Lovett's up there at Camelback and 16th Street just west. But Auto Dynamics, the body shop, you might try
All
that.
Right. I'll give them a try.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, appreciate it.
You bet. And I'm out of callers, so help me
out. We got Wayne.
Wayne, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Hang on a minute. Let me fix this phone here.
Okay. Did you fix it? Or did you accidentally hang up on me? Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, he accidentally hung up on us.
He'll call back. We got anybody else? Or did they want me to?
Lines are clear right now.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. So I told you, when I tell you the lines are open, I'm serious. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. There's a couple things that I want
you... 2 minutes.
I want you to remember. There's three things. This is what makes an auto repair relationship the best for you, for the customer. Is number one, go in and give them the symptoms. Don't tell them what Uncle Festus says in Tennessee will fix your car. Don't do that. Let them diagnose it. If you diagnose it and you're wrong, they're not going to refund any money because you told them what to repair, and they're not going to pay for your mistake. So you say, here's my symptoms. When they call you up, get the total amount of the estimate, and if you want it to be specific, ask them what parts, what labor, how much you got in there for sales tax, because we got 9.3 sales tax. Most everybody adds 12, 13, 14%, just to give you a little buffer. So you say, now, as I understand it, I'm going to pay you $652, and you're going to fix this problem on my car. That's a contract. That's a meeting of the minds. What's your name again? Josephine Salem. Okay. All right. Well, listen, if you're going to fix it now, here's number... So number one is symptoms. Number two, make that contract. Number three, put my old parts in the car. Well, I can't. There's a core charge. Put it in the car, and I'll pay the core charge, and I'll bring it back to you. Put it in the car. Put it in the box that the new part came in. Whatever. I want to look at it. You women... When we come back, I'm going to give you a tip you can use that works every single time. But, and then you pay with a credit card. Okay? Those are the protections that we have to offer you to ensure you're going to be treated fairly. Give them the symptoms. Make the contract. Is this a guess or a fix? I want my old parts back, and pay with a credit card. It's that simple. That message is the most important message I have to offer you. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I want to just remind you something. There are more than 20 websites that service Arizona that tell you that they can and will send you to the very best business of whatever you want in Arizona. And these are automotive. And others. AAA, Angie's List, Dex, Garage Fly, Great Guys, Kudzu, NARPRO, Repair Pal, 2Fixit, Yan, and Yelp. Here's the problem. They'll tell you they're sending you to the best place, but there's no guarantee. And if you have a problem, all you can do is vent on their website. That's it. Here's the difference. It's not their money. It's my money. I have $5,000 that says you're going to be happy. And if you're not, I have a process where we use the Better Business Bureau arbitrators. And if they tell the shop to make a refund or make the repair and the shop refuses, he doesn't pay the fine, I do. I will pay, or I will perform the work, or I will issue the rebate or the refund based on what the Better Business Bureau says. I will do that, and I'm going to kick him off. I've never even been to arbitration, folks, in 20 years. I was the first one that started this referral network thing. I was the very first one in Arizona. But my list of shops is the best, and I put my money where my mouth is. All righty, Wayne, you're up, buddy. How can I help you?
Well, thank you, Mark. I'm sorry my thumb hit the wrong button.
That's okay, buddy. That's okay.
I got a 72 Ford F-100, 138,000 miles on this thing. This truck has been in my family. It belonged to my father, so, you know, I got, there's a long history of me and it. It's never had the oil changed in the transmission, and about 3 months ago, I noticed it took longer and longer going from park into drive for it to engage for the forward clutch to catch.
Okay.
However, in backing up, and I could go from park to reverse, and it engages immediately. Once it does engage, everything works just perfect.
It just has hard internal seals, that's all.
Hard internal seals.
That's right.
Okay, well, when I dropped the pan on this thing, I did drain the oil also out of the torque converter, found the plug on that, drained everything, and there's just a little bit of sludge in the bottom of the pan, and looking up at the transmission, it looked just like it was minted yesterday. It absolutely whistle clean. Now, this has never had the oil changed on it.
Okay.
But I found maybe a half a cup of what appear to be very thin pieces of paper or cardboard all over in the bottom of the pan and up in around the strainer. And I cleaned all that stuff out. I suspect it might be friction material out of some of the clutches.
Well, you said it works, other than the delayed shift, it works fine.
It just works fine.
Okay. Well, let's just deal with what we got. Did you save any of that stuff that you found?
Oh, yeah,
in the pan?
I did.
Then you need to take it by a transmission shop and have them take a look at it and tell you what it is, because it could be friction material. It could also be part of the old filter that's come apart. You just don't know, and that's why you have to take it to a transmission shop.
This doesn't have a filter. It has just a wire mesh strainer.
Okay. All right. Number two. If you want to try, first of all, I would have never changed all the fluid like you did, because I think you're risking a lot here. But now that you've done it, it's okay. Add a half a bottle of brake fluid to it, and that causes the seals, if they're capable, It will soften the seals and return a little pliability to the seals, and that may be all you need to soften up those seals, other than maybe just drive it with the new fluid. But I know brake fluid won't hurt the seals, and I know brake fluid will return pliability if it's capable. But if one of the seals is torn, or if one of the seals is so hard that nothing can bring it back to life, then brake fluid won't do anything, but you're only out a couple of bucks. But that's your only choices. You have a delayed shift, and that just means that we're not containing the hydraulic pressure, and there's nothing external you can do. All righty, good luck to you, buddy. Okay. And Danny, you're up next. Danny, how can I help you?
Yeah, hi, good morning. Good afternoon, Mark. Thanks for getting my call. I got the 2008 Camry. I bought it new. And when I bought it, it's already tricked down, you know, and they have big wheels and stuff like that.
1 minute.
But after a year, while it's on warranty, I have a problem that when I turn the wheel, I can hear the linkage. You know, it's grinding or something. It's not grinding, but you can hear it. It's turning.
Okay.
And then I brought it to Toyota, and they fix it, and now I have the same problem. And it's already 2013, so the warranty expires already.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can still bring it there.
Well, what did they do the first time?
They said they fixed it, but...
Okay.
I have the same problem right now.
Okay, hold on, Danny. We're going to take a break, but if you could find that work order in the next 3 or 4 minutes, that'd be great. But there's a piece of paper that says what they did. That's evidently what needs to be done, but we'll discuss your options when we come back. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back right after this.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jeremy. Bob, you're up next. How can I help you?
Just a pretty generic question. What are your thoughts about when you're stopped at a light and popping an automatic transmission up into neutral?
Okay. That has been studied so many times. Let me change your question slightly, okay?
Sure.
Mark, do you do that? And the answer is no. Do you have your wife do it? No. Do you have your daughters, your son do it? No. Mark, how often do you have to work on the linkage of the transmission from the shifter through the bell crank, through the cable, to the lever, all that kind of stuff? And the answer is we never do. We never do. So putting it in the neutral and putting it into drive, it's not a linkage issue, because that's not going to wear out. The other issue is why. What are we trying to accomplish? Well, if I know that if I don't have a load on the motor, I'm going to get better fuel economy for the minute or a minute and a half I have to sit at the traffic light, 30 to 45 seconds at the traffic light. If you want to do that, you're not causing any harm. And I agree that you will use less fuel in neutral than you will in drive. I think it's a pattern you have to kind of develop, because the light's going to turn green. You're going to forget you're in neutral, and you're going to give it the gas, and you aren't going to go anywhere. The guy's behind you is going to honk. You're going to kind of panic. You're going to throw down your Starbucks. You're going to grab a hold of the shifter, stick it in drive, but then the RPMs are up too high, and it's not going to go into drive. So now he's honking, honking, honking more and more. That's what happens.
Okay.
But you can do it either way. If your car gets terrible gas mileage, that's something you could do. But here's a better thing. If you want better gas mileage, pretend like you don't have any brakes. Drive like you don't have any brakes. And if you want me to, for $29.95, I'll put a big horn underneath your seat, and every time you touch the brake pedal, I'll blow that horn.
I gotcha.
But the linkage is not going to take a beating, and there's no mechanical negativity associated with neutral under traffic light and drive when it turns green. There's nothing. So you can do what you want.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All righty. Jeremy, we got anybody?
We do. We still got a full board, so Jim's up next.
Jim, good morning to you, buddy. How can I help you?
Yes, Mike. I got a question. About my daughter's car, she has a 2007 Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Okay.
The problem is it's very erratic. It happened yesterday. She came up to a stop, then all of a sudden the car started jerking, and it went from idle to 2,000 and kept doing that sporadically. And then all of a sudden, all the dashboard lights, warning lights started flashing on.
Okay.
And then she turned it off and turned it back on, and everything smoothed out.
Okay. It went into restart right there. That's exactly what happens when you turn the key off real fast and turn the key on. It's entirely possible she has a bad ignition switch. She should try a different key. Hopefully you got two keys with the car, and she should get rid of the old one and try the new one for a while. and make sure that she didn't accidentally knock the key off of the run position, because what you're describing is the idle quality going up indicates that we lost control. And it's probably because we had a power surge, or we had a temporary loss of power. When you go into these electrical issues, you always start at the battery. So you all pull the cables, clean them up, soak them in a water and baking soda solution. Make sure that the connections are good and tight. And when you're done and you think they're tight, grab a hold of them with your hand. And if you can spin them, you struck out. So we start there, and then we move away from there. So I think what you've described so perfectly is just a flash or a power surge or a power on and off. And unless it happens again and again and again, I may not worry about it.
It did happen to me. It only happened to me once, just probably about 3 weeks ago. The engine did start racing and had a stop, and then all of a sudden it quit.
Okay. And see, the computer, if it loses its RPM signal, then it kind of revs the motor up saying, hey, where are you? But if I don't have an RPM signal, I don't know that the idle's going up. And then it goes, oh, okay, well, the engine's dead, so it shuts off the fuel and the engine dies. Then you turn the key on and it goes, oh, you want me to start up again? And then all of a sudden it sees the RPM and it says, okay, I'll provide fuel. That's what's probably going on. But it could be anything. That scenario I just described to you could be a crank sensor because the computer lost the RPM signal. But typically that doesn't just happen at idle. Typically when the crank sensor's bad, it happens all the time. Hot, cold,
yeah.
Left, right, and that kind of stuff. You might even get on the internet, but don't fix it based on some clown on the internet. But just type Mitsubishi Eclipse, high idle, then dies. And use that string. Eclipse, high idle, then dies. And see what it says. See if anybody else... You're looking for three or four people that can show you a receipt that they took their car in and they fixed this common problem. That's what you're looking for. Don't just say, oh, my brother fixed it for this. Don't go that way. Okay? Alrighty, we're going to tell you one more time about Larry Harker's Auto. Larry Harker's has been in the Valley since 1967. The current owners, Bob and Ellen, have owned and operated Larry Harker's since 1989. And their technicians have been with them, Bob and Ellen, for decades. Years. They are a trusted source for quality parts at affordable prices. So I want you to think. Indian School to the north, I-10 to the south, the West 101 and I-17, that's a big area, but Larry Harker's Auto at 38th Avenue in Indian School holds that area down perfectly. All righty, we got Jim. Who else?
We got Dennis.
Dennis, you're up, buddy.
All right, today in your Scottsdale Republic article, you talked about storing the car for the Snowbird under a carport.
Yes, sir.
What happens when you have a garage, you want to store the car, and it gets very hot in the garage?
Then I would crack a window.
1 minute.
The windows are going to be up if it's outside, but if it's inside, I'm going to crack two windows about an inch. I don't know how the air is going to flow through the garage or anything, but I just want there to be a transition between the air and inside and outside of the car. I'm going to drop them maybe a half an inch, maybe the right front and the left rear. I might even hang a sheet over there to give it kind of a filtering effect, so that if their air goes in or out, then the sheet will carry most of the dirt. But if you're inside, there has to be a little bit of transition of air, and that's all. But you're still not going to hurt it. It doesn't have the ultraviolet. All it's got is heat, and that's all you've got. Thank you, Dennis. Folks, you've made my day. We've had a lot of calls, and we've had a lot of fun. My email address is mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. I'm there for you 24 hours. I may not answer you quickly, but I'm there for you for 24 hours, so call me. mark@marksalem.com. God bless you. Wear your seatbelts, and I'll see you next Saturday here at 10 o'clock.